This episode of the Edible Valley is brought to you by Prontissima Pasta and Call of the Wild Market. Our guests from episode 26 were gracious in donating fresh squid ink pasta as well as some Dungeness crab and shrimp. For more information, visit prontissimapasta.com. Thanks, Sarah and Julie. The food was delicious. Welcome to the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm Blaine Prowse.
And we would like you to join with us on our latest adventure exploring the Edible Valley. I am Jonathan Fraser.
On today's episode, we are talking with Sue Smith from Beyond the Kitchen Door. Welcome, Sue.
Hello.
It's good to have you in here.
Thank you.
We've been thinking about you ever since this started, thinking, we'll get Sue in here one day, it'll be great.
Not much to say, I promise.
Yeah. Sue's been a good friend of John's for many years. And
as long as I've been at the Atlas, at least, she's been getting me in to do cooking classes and such events throughout the community. She seems to always have her hand on what's going on around, especially when it comes to food and chefs and events. So.
Yeah, and I met Sue probably once or twice at the store, and then I met you at the event at your brother's house in the springtime. And now I feel like I've known you for years too, so you're just one of those kind of people.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah.
So anyways, what's new, John?
You know what? I'd have to say this has been a pretty uneventful week for me.
Yeah.
Not much happening other than just gearing up for the Christmas season. I think staff Christmas parties are coming together and there's a lot of groups starting to head out.
Yeah.
Seeing the big tables hitting at least my restaurant, so I've been kind of had my head down, and we've had a few big Christmas parties we've done, and just trying to keep all that stuff going. We had the Winter Harp Fest at the Sid Williams, so we got to do ourselves and Avenue did a little appetizer tray for people to sample before they went in for that. So that was a little challenge that was thrown on my plate, but other than that, it's pretty much work as usual. So I haven't really gotten out as much, and you know, just starting to get my Christmas shopping underway, which is probably late. But
oh, geez. Right.
I got lots of time, so
I'm gonna go to Beyond the Kitchen Door on the weekend.
Yes.
I'll be there.
Some things to buy.
How about yourself, Blaine? Anything interesting?
Well, I had a fun weekend. I made sausages.
I saw your pictures.
And
there, so.
And it kind of all came together for me this weekend. The first couple attempts I had, the seasoning was fine and everything, but I had problems getting the casings. Not getting them stuffed, probably getting the product through my machine.
Oh, yeah.
It was getting jammed up and stuff, so... But I got it pretty dialed now, so...
Got to keep it nice and cool.
Got to keep it cool, yeah. And yeah. I sprayed all the moving parts with, olive oil spray so that things wouldn't get too gummed up. And it seemed to help, too, so...
Excellent.
Anyways, yeah, I made pepperoni and fresh chorizo and Mennonite sort of venison sausage, so...
Excellent.
Yeah. That was fun.
Excellent. I'm looking forward to sampling some. I know you dropped some pepperoni off tonight, but I didn't get a chance to try it because I was busy with all that crab and shrimp. So we'll have the pictures of that coming out.
Maybe you should talk a little bit about what we did in the what you did in the test kitchen tonight. I had nothing to do with it except picking it up.
I had fun actually because we had a whole bunch of prawns and shrimp and crab dropped off in the Prontissima, the squid ink pasta, which is. Got a beautiful black color to it, so it really sticks out on the plate. It's got a little bit of flavor to it, a little sort of a salty, savory taste behind it. So still a bit of sweetness too. So I did a nice little carbonara with that. So a little saffron, some cream, and some of your bacon there. Fried that all up in the sauce, and then just toss the pasta and finish it off with a nice egg yolk just to thicken it up. So quite tasty.
Yeah, it was really good.
Good stuff and. Spent most of my day making the prawn stock, which I did a bisque out of with some roasted red peppers in there just to sweeten it up a bit.
That soup was delicious. It was so good.
Where were the prawns from?
They were Nutsi.
Yeah.
So from Bella Bella. So they just gave me some products to play with and sort of see what I could do with it. So it was quite nice. And it was fun. And then took the crab, which is all pre-steamed, right? And so basically I just made a nice curry sauce with lots of leeks. And sort of sauteed them all off and did curry and coconut milk and just dropped the crab in there. And it was about 7 minutes.
Yeah.
Just steamed up and the crab just sucked up all that curry right into the meat. So it was like a beautiful, beautiful. So If you got time afterwards, Sue, I've still got a big tray of it, so you can come over and have a little sample.
I'm there, John. I'm there, as always, with your cooking. I'm there. The best around.
I did go to Prontissima on Saturday for their big opening, and the I guess there was some sort of an open house thing in
Tin Town. There was an open house with the artists in Tin Town.
Yeah. So I didn't do anything beyond just going to see them, but I had a good visit with Julie and Sarah there, and I bought a big box of their cleaned half crab, pre-cooked half crabs, so that's in my freezer now. So those will be nice, quick dinners pull out and throw in steam for 5 minutes or so and be ready to eat. So
yeah, it's good to go. It's all cooked, so it's a nice little treat.
Yeah.
A little bit of work getting in there. Recommend a lot of napkins.
Yeah, it's all part of the fun with eating
crabs. We have crab crackers and crab picks at the store.
Yes.
Which is a lot neater.
Yes, yep. That's where we should have gone, actually. Yeah.
I am a caveman, so I don't mind using my teeth.
Oh, dear, the dentist will love you.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's get into this. Let's get into the show here. First of all, we wanted to talk about we're going to talk about Beyond the Kitchen Door, but we thought maybe Sue could give us a bit of a rundown on Winterfest that's happening in downtown Courtney.
We were part of Delicious Downtown, which was this past Saturday, Friday and Saturday. So Eric Akis, the food writer for the Victoria Times Colonist,
right,
and the creator of all the Thrifty's food recipes in their weekly flyer.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in town, and he did two cooking classes for us on the Friday night from his new book, Everyone Can Cook Everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Saturday, we hosted a book signing with Eric.
Right.
Where everybody could come in and sample four or five different dishes that he made from Everyone Can Cook Everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we enjoyed his wonderful taste treats that he made that day, and he was there to answer questions. Lots of people came in with questions about appetizers for Christmas. What are some good tips and tricks, shortcuts, what they can freeze ahead? So it was really informative. So it was excellent to bring that in to the event downtown and to have such a high profile chef visiting in downtown.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's great. You got to stop in and visit.
I stopped in for a few minutes and chatted and finally got to meet him because Sue talks about him so highly all the time. I really got to meet him. So it was nice. I had a quick chat with him. And actually the reason I made goulash last week with your venison was I was flipping through his cookbook there and I saw the slow cooking. Yeah. Everyone can slow cook. And I was like, goulash.
That's an excellent idea.
So nice, easy recipes, and
this the Everyone Can Cook Everything is the seventh in his Everyone Can Cook series.
Oh wow!
So this is his seventh cookbook.
He's quite an author,
and he's been doing the recipes for Thrifties for 13 years.
Wow!
Three to four recipes a week.
Yeah.
So he's well tested in his
that's a lot of work
recipe creation skills.
So. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, and he tests everything himself. So. As everyone was saying when they came into the store on Saturday, your recipes always work and they're always delicious. And that's true.
Yeah.
Like nice. John over here.
Well, unlike my recipes, which never seem to work.
Well, they never get written down. I
have a terrible thing of tweaking as I go along. And then I try and remember, did I do 6 onions or 7 onions?
Yeah.
So your cookbook, you have to get a little key notes.
I'm working on it. We're getting there.
Yeah.
I've got lots of little notes from the stuff we've been doing over the last couple of weeks, like when we came into Beyond the Kitchen Door. And
I have notes from 5 years of cooking classes with you, too.
So. That's true. I actually use Sue as a resource sometimes when I'm like, I need to send a recipe. And Sue, how many recipes do you have of mine?
Yeah.
A few. Yeah. And they're well kept and well used.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So what else has been going on downtown? Is it like
This week, or last week, it's the Walk on the Wild Side. So we were doing some cooking classes and some demos, including Are You Game for This? So we had some venison sausage that we demoed from the butcher block. And we just kind of brought in some wild taste treats for people to give a try. And Karen Patterson from Bite Size was in. Mm. So she mm-hmm. was topping things and with her, as we said, her wildly delicious hot pepper jellies. Mm-hmm. So there was a whole range of that. So that was kind of our trip to the wild side at Beyond the Kitchen Door this weekend.
Right.
With our local produce.
I guess I missed out on that on Saturday. I was there too yes. early, wasn't I?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, you were. You came first thing in the
so
morning.
So eager. I was
Karen
get up
arrived
and...
at her demo started at noon.
Oh, yeah.
And it's always delicious. Her product is fabulous.
Yeah, yeah. It is good for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
We need to get her in here.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. That'd be good. Yeah. Yeah. So, good.
So then the next, this weekend coming up with the Fantasies weekend, we'll be doing, featuring our tagine and just some of the more exotic cookware we have and the dishes that you can do in that cookware. So
cool.
That'll just kind of be some, if you have a fantasy of making a fancy Moroccan dish, we have the equipment to do
right.
so.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm going to make sure I come in to town later on Saturday so I can come have yeah. a look and see what
not
you're doing.
Not before noon.
Yeah,
before
no,
noon.
I'll come afternoon.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's, I guess we should get on to, I think we got all the events covered, but we go on to Beyond the Kitchen Door. For people who don't know, what is Beyond the Kitchen
Beyond
Door?
Beyond the Kitchen Door, as our tagline says, is every day to gourmet. And so Teresa Mooney, who owns the shop, and she's been in that location for almost 20 years, is very proud to service everyone and anyone, from the home cook, the everyday chef, to the gourmet chef. So we have product in there that will cover all needs, all cooking and baking needs. And the assortment is really in-depth
mm-hmm.
and pretty much, if you need it, it's going to be at Beyond the Kitchen Door, and we're very proud to be able to have that service in the valley.
Yeah,
and that comes from many years of listening to customers and our chefs.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm always like a kid in a candy shop yeah. when I walk in there. I can walk around for hours yeah. just looking and picking up stuff and trying to think of how can I use this and what can I use that.
Yeah, there's
with
some
this?
Thought. Yeah, there's some things that you can get you thinking and get you excited about cooking and excited what you can do in the kitchen.
Mm.
And
always,
from yeah, yeah, from listening to our chefs that have done the different classes, and we have found that the spicing is essential. Like that's one of the key ingredients into creating dishes. And we had an Indian chef, Tahira Rauji, who comes over to teach our classes.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you can make my dish and follow my recipes exactly, but they're never going to taste the same if you don't have good spices
right.
and mm-hmm. good herbs. Like you're not going to be able to do it. So having listened to the different chefs that come into the store, we did expand into a whole line of gourmet spices from South China Seas done in Vancouver.
Okay.
Put together at Granville Island. And so they're based on what our cooking classes have to offer, what's not available in our area here.
Right.
And so we complement the assortment and the class by having some of these more exotic spices available at the store. And that was just a direct result of listening to the chefs and our customers, and our customers saying, we can't get this here. So we listened up and...
Yeah,
we have the different spices available, and it really does make a difference to the dishes. And John was one of the ones that was emphatic about that as well. So
yeah,
cool. Yeah. There's some stuff that you guys have brought up that I've never seen before, and I'm like, this is amazing. Just the herbs and spices, yeah. like the flavoring,
and they're fresh, which is yeah. nice. And we don't bring in a lot at one time, so the turnover is consistent. Mm-hmm. So it is fresh.
Yeah. And the salts, I'm always like,
yeah, the
blown
different
away.
Salts that are coming in, and we've just gone into a line from Vancouver Island Salt Company mm-hmm. out of Cobble Hill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Andrew, and he harvests his own salts. I mean, and it was interesting when he was up for a customer appreciation evening how he did it with the great big cauldrons, and he boils them and boils them, boils it down, adds more water, boils it down until the fleur de sel is
just on the top.
At the top. Yeah, yeah, and this can take up to 13 or 14 different boiling processing.
Wow.
And then he does infusion salts and he does smoke salts with it. So we were very happy to have him up and introduce his line of salts, talk about them, and give us different taste tests. And that's been a great stocking stuffer this year,
oh,
his
yeah.
varieties
mm-hmm.
of salts. And that's right from Cobble Hill. So it's exciting to see and be able to bring into town the offerings of what is so local here, mm-hmm. and how fortunate we are to have it all available here in the valley and Vancouver Island.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. There's a lot of really neat products out there.
That totally,
we're not super familiar with yet, but
yeah.
the markets are growing.
They are.
Yeah. I like the idea of smoked salt. I'm gonna have to pick some of that up.
Yes, there's smoked salts, and he does a specialty salt. We have one from Merrydale Cidery, one of their cider salt.
Mm, cool.
A balsamic vinegar salt.
It's just a nice contrast, right? Like mm-hmm. you're just finishing or seasoning something just to give you that extra accent flavor.
Just kick it up a notch, right? Just a little subtleties. And one of the things from all our classes and our demonstrations in the store is the importance of layering flavors. Mm. Not throwing everything into a pot all at once, but layering it so you get the depth of flavor. And this is where you realize that how important what goes into your food is, but not only that, actually what you cook it in too.
That's mm-hmm. true. And you have like a wide selection. I love using the kitchen in the back because it gives me a chance to play with the different things that maybe I wouldn't quite grab in the kitchen. Different mm-hmm. knives, different cutting boards, mm-hmm. Just different frying pans, and just mm-hmm. the different characteristics. And I love how you guys always have different products. Like there's pretty much, well, it's not just different, but you know, it's
some of the new stuff. It's the best way to get to know. Not one pot is not meant for everything. That's why there's such a variety.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the stainless steel is good for a slow simmer, and the cast iron is very good for sear it, toss it in the oven. When you make a steak, and when Jonathan made the steaks in the class and seared it in the cast iron and finished it in the oven, I mean, they were melt in your mouth tender.
Mm-hmm.
So each material has its characteristics and what, you know, what they are good for.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quite fascinating, actually, when we had we were thrilled to be hosting Anna Olson
of the Food Network.
I mean, one of our celebrity chefs.
Yeah.
And she spoke for did two sessions, 20 minutes each session, and one of them was even in baking, why you would use glass or ceramic or stainless steel or a tin loaf, and the different results that the different materials give you,
right.
even mm. when you're baking. So it's important all the way down the line, whatever food you are preparing, that the right piece of equipment be used. It's just that subtlety
mm-hmm.
that it does make a difference.
Yeah.
So Sue, what is the hot item right now? What are people all after? Other than the salts.
Other than the salts, yeah. yeah. You know, we're finding that our specialty equipment, like the tagine,
right.
is a very good item because it's, again, it's kind of that exotic cooking. So that's a good item for us right now. And we do have one from Emile Henry that is a flame, which is a stovetop ceramic. So you can use it on top of the stove. So the searing of the chicken or whatever meat you're using can be done on top. Your vegetables, rice can be added in mm-hmm. and then finished in the oven. So this is really very versatile. And of course, being ceramic, the clay keeps the moisture in.
Mm-hmm.
And then the moisture, because of the shape of the dish, rises. It's a cone shape, rises to the top, and then slowly the water, the steam condenses into water and goes back into the dish. So it keeps it really moist and mm-hmm. tender.
Yeah. Oh, I'm interested in seeing that.
And then when you bring it out of the oven and you take the lid off, the aroma is quite exquisite.
Hmm. I did a curry there once, and it was
used it.
There, it was a lot of fun. It was easy too.
Right? Yeah.
Sear off my, I think I did chicken mm-hmm. thighs in a nice curry, and I had nuts and dates and raisins, and just threw it all in there.
And it goes in the oven, so it frees up a burner.
I couldn't get it in the oven when I was doing it, actually. If I remember correct, it wouldn't fit in the oven because I had other stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually left it on the burner on a really, really low temperature
mm-hmm.
while I did the rest of the class.
Oh, yeah.
And it just cooked beautiful, and it was tender. Chicken was fall off the bone because it sat there for, I did it right away, I believe, so it was there for an hour and a half, so the chicken was really tender.
Yeah. And it's back to the slow cooking mm-hmm. and the slow processing of a meal, but yet simple, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You do your basics, get it prepared, get it all layered, and then it just simmers. So the result is quite exquisite for the amount of time that you're actually slaving over it, which is very little.
Yeah.
Or John made it look easy anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I did some ribs in my slow cooker on Friday night, and then I took the onions and the garlic that were in the slow cooker and I blended them up to make a paste, and then I put the juices into a pan with that paste and made a sauce out of it and used it to coat the ribs on the grill after. It was amazing.
Yes.
It was so easy.
Yeah.
So the ribs cooked while I was at work, and then I just finished them with, you know, it took me 20 minutes to finish them on the grill and with the sauce. So super simple.
Good old slow cooker.
But it's true. Yeah. And that was one of Eric's, Akis's very good book is his slow cooker book.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was up here doing the classes on slow cooking, I mean, it was amazing.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be complicated at all.
Not very at all, simple. But yet, with the right ingredients again.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, the food, it was delicious.
Yeah.
The meal was wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You also have the added bonus at Beyond the Kitchen Door because you have such beautiful plates and dishware.
The servingware.
Mm. Servingware is just amazing selection, and it's constantly changing. I sort of see every time I come in there, there's a new display, and I'm like...
Oh. Well, you know, our chefs have always said you eat with your eyes first, so I do think, and it is wonderful, the attention that is paid to plating and the little tips and tricks we receive on plating, and that with no more time, really, you can make something look so inviting to your eyes, which does influence how you think it's going to taste. And quite often when that extra little bit of care is given to the presentation of the meal, it has started right at the very beginning.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so that's always a fun thing. And the dishes do add. They can add a seriousness to the meal. They can add a fun twist to the meal. It really can give the theme to the meal and carry it all the way through your dishes, even the color of the dishes you use.
Yeah, no, it's so true.
Yeah.
And honestly, I was doing our pasta tonight, and I was honestly like, I should go to Beyond the Kitchen Door right now and ask to borrow some plates because.
Yeah, we're rather lucky. It's a great kitchen cupboard, that store.
Oh, it is.
Sue, where's this? Wait a second, we don't have it in the kitchen. Out I go to the aisle, right?
Yeah.
Here we go. Will this do? Usually it does, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So how important is Fifth Street and the downtown?
I think Fifth Street is critical to the vibrancy of the whole Comox Valley and to the life of the Comox Valley and the variety that there is to offer. There's just a sense of community that is created downtown.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And downtown, it's not just Fifth Street, it's Sixth Street, it's Fourth Street, and it's all the encompassing areas. And just, I think, the energy that comes from local independently owned businesses. It gives an energy and a vitality to an area that makes you feel you're part of a community.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that whole being part of a community is very healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's very fulfilling and to feel part of that. And I think that's what I think our downtown core gives is you can come into a store, just about any store, they're going to listen to you, they're going to try and find it, and you actually, as a customer, do influence what's carried in a store.
Mm-hmm. And you matter.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Because a lot of our product is in the store because of what the customers are having to say and what the customers are having to ask for.
Right.
So I think it's just that sense of personalized service and caring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you definitely notice that when you go in Beyond the Kitchen Door. It's like the whole staff there is quite knowledgeable about what they're doing. And when you ask questions...
You know, the staff there loves it. I mean, it really is... it is part of our lives because we all love to cook. We all love food. The people that are involved in it are excellent. And it's just the energy that... comes from it. So I mean, when you get the people who are so, and they're in a business because they love it, and you're doing it because you love it, so that energy and enthusiasm comes through, and I think that it's catching.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
Well,
yeah.
I know I always plan a half an hour out of my day whenever I go in there.
Well, first of all, because I talk your ear off.
I know. Well, we got to catch up on the gossip and what's happening around town.
Who's where? Yeah. What chef is where? who's movie where? You know, this is where I learned that Locals is going into the Old House.
That is the rumor that we hear. It's true. So I haven't actually talked to Ronald.
No, I haven't either. You don't need to talk to them. I mean, I met a workman that's working there. So, yeah. It's supposed to be open by mid to end April. We can check with Ronald.
We should. Yeah. But
check the sources.
Check the sources. Check the source. Gee whiz, that'd be interesting. What a novel idea.
We don't want to have a revoke next week on the podcast.
And I can tell you, everybody's very excited about that move.
They're
very excited about it. They're thinking, oh boy, the old house, some of the old bones are going to come back to it, right? And some of the glory days will return. And if there's anybody that can do it, it's certainly Chef Ronald.
For sure. I was actually a little, saddened when it closed.
Oh, I was devastated, as we all were. And people in our cooking classes were devastated that there was an option that it could become all offices.
Right.
That really upset a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this is good news. This is like music to our ears.
It is exciting.
You know that it'll be coming back to what it was built for.
Mm-hmm. No, it's exciting news.
It is exciting.
We always compete in the restaurant business, but you never want to see the other guy lose his shirt.
Never.
And you know, we're always competing for each other's customers and something, but, you know, we're really all in the business together. So,
but, you know, I still find that each restaurant, just talking from our customers and from the classes that I organize, each restaurant does have a niche and does kind of have a specific clientele. Mm-hmm. And they're very good at focusing on that. And keeping that their customer happy. So each restaurant does, in a way, have its following.
Right.
And that's really cool too, in such a small community, to have the variety of food available to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the different cuisines that are available here.
Well, one event you organized a few years back, where you did you're not even remembering this one.
Where we did the bus tour?
The bus tour to all the different restaurants, which I thought was really exciting. A lot of work.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. No, because organizing six different chefs to be doing a course at their own restaurant was definitely a challenge.
Yes. Yeah.
It was definitely a challenge, but we rented a school bus and took 25 people and we started at the Atlas.
That's right. We did a soup.
You did the soup. You did the
I think it's caramelized onion and apple soup.
Yes, it was delicious. I remember it. Then we went to Locals.
That's right.
And had oysters and a couple of shellfish dishes as appetizers.
Right.
And then we went to Anderton Bistro.
Which is Andrew.
Yep.
Andrew Stagant.
Stagant.
And he did an absolutely scrumptious main course.
Yes. Mm.
And then off we went at that time to Time on the Ocean.
That's right. Time on the Ocean.
Yeah, and then ended up at Avenue for one of Aaron's wonderful cheesecakes. Oh my gosh, that I won't forget. That was delicious. And he gave it a twist, which Aaron is so good at doing, with goat cheese. He did a goat cheese, and it was really wonderful.
Wow.
It was really wonderful. And at each restaurant, each chef described what they were serving. They paired it with the wine and had the wine rep there to explain why that wine went with the meal. And then after each course, out we get, back into our little yellow school bus and off to the next restaurant. It was a blast.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Yeah, we've done a few different things, that's right.
Yeah.
Because you're definitely involved with like lots of events throughout the community. Like you've done the Mount Washington, you organized that food festival there one time. You were definitely involved with Flavor.
Yes.
In a lot of that, getting that all set up and put together. So, I mean, you're definitely not only doing the cooking classes at Beyond the Kitchen Door, you're out the community sort of building the whole food end of things.
Well, and because that is what we bring into the store, is that experience as to what's going on. Because the store, it's not just there to, we have this pot, we have this pan. It's really there to service what's going on here in the valley and what people are enjoying in the valley. So we find that working, being part of we are associate members of the North Vancouver Island Chefs Association, which is wonderful because a lot of what's going on in the direction of food comes from our chefs.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
That takes to the direction of the store and what we have to tell our customers about why we're carrying a certain product or we have a certain line of spices.
Mm-hmm.
So I find we find that the Chefs Association is critical to the direction which we take as a food, what we like to figure as ourselves as a foodie store.
Yeah.
In that we service everything that you need to.
Well, it's even wonderful, the bursaries that you've given to the association to give to our junior members to get them outfitted with the right knives and the right equipment. Because it's so key to starting in this industry to have the right stuff.
You've got to have tools.
It's having and the
you
right
know, the
tools.
Right tools aren't necessarily the most expensive because it really does depend how you cook. So to have a young chef come in, one of the young ladies that came in, she was so excited. She had always wanted to have a microplane rasp and three or four different things. And because of the gift certificate and the bursary, she was able to do it. And just to see the joy in her face that she could do this, and it was actually going to make her cooking more enjoyable and easier and time-saving, which is critical, right?
Oh, like for sure. Yeah.
The right piece of equipment saves time.
It's all about time management in the kitchen. It really is. It's getting everything to combine at that one moment.
Yeah, and that is the future, you know. Yeah. Are our young young people in the culinary program, the young chefs, there's the future. And I do believe that's what downtown merchants are also concerned with, is the future of the people who are here.
Right, yeah.
And supporting that. And culinary is key. I mean, it influences so many things.
Yeah, food in general is the future.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because without it, we don't have long.
But how trends change, right?
Yeah.
And with maybe perhaps the aquaculture, like we did an event, Jonathan, you were up there with the land-based aquaculture.
Oh, that's right. You were there too. That's
that
right.
That was very fascinating. Like Karen Barnaby, who was the executive chef of the Fish House in Stanley Park.
Yes.
They invited, she's no longer that, but she did a lot of cooking classes for us.
That's
just
right.
A blast.
Mm-hmm.
She was up there because she is an expert in the
seafood.
In seafood. Mm-hmm. Generally, so that was just interesting to see where that's going, because that's a whole nother direction of the food industry and cooking.
And the trend for people shopping and eating locally is growing exponentially, it seems like. So the more of that, the interest in new products and trends and things like that are influencing everybody. So
for sure. And as these trends come to it, then it's reflected locally with the different entrepreneurs that we have here that are in the food industry. Look at the growth of the wine and fruit wine, and with Coastal Black and, you know, Nature's Way.
That's right.
The Moon Winery.
Yep.
And then we have Beaufort here, and the one that's just opened up on Anderton, 40 Knots.
40 Knots, that's right.
So, I mean, this is obviously a direction, and we're just such a little cosmopolitan area for that. Or, you know, it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's a little bit of a question, a little bit off subject where we're going, but how did you get involved with Beyond the Kitchen Door?
We as a family, we moved here.
Because you're a bit of a world
traveler. 10 years ago, we moved here 10 years ago, having just done 2 years sailing through Europe, and we came back. We had our home in Sawasin, and decided, oh boy, none of us could get back into what we had done before with our regular jobs.
Right.
We were fortunate enough to have a home over here in Courtney.
Mm-hmm.
Packed up and moved over here, and went, oh, what would we like to do? So I thought, I like to cook. That's a hobby. So I went to a couple at that time. Teresa was having a cooking class. A chef had rented the kitchen at Beyond the Kitchen Door and was hosting was doing a couple of cooking classes. So I thought, okay, I will sign up for a cooking class and see just meet people and see how things were being done at the cooking class. So I sat in on a couple and went, oh boy, there's so much I know I could do here, because I had a bit of a marketing background and I just loved the energy there. Mm-hmm. I liked Teresa right away. And so I thought about it and thought about it, took another class and put a whole proposal together for Teresa about, oh, I think that this is, I get a feeling that this is such an opportunity and a real growth area.
Mm-hmm.
And that at that time her cooking classes were not relating to the store.
No.
So they weren't relating to the equipment she had in the store. The chef literally was just there giving a cooking class.
Right.
And so I saw that as a whole opportunity, how you could bring the product from the store, let people see it being used so they could make a decision. Do I need this or don't I need it? Depending on how they cook, they could see how the product was being used as it was cooking. So they could say, I don't cook like that, I don't need it, or geez, that would sure make my life easier. So I put a whole proposal together, asked her to go for coffee, and 8 years later,
still doing
we're still doing our cooking classes, and still, as you've noticed, incorporating product from the store the cooking class. Yep. And it's really helped. It's a form of product knowledge, which is so critical. Before you buy something, you should know, are you going to use it or not? And you're not, don't buy it. If you are, now you know how you're going to use it. And I think it makes for a much smarter purchase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
So that's how.
That's how you got involved in the.
Teresa, I can be of some help to you.
Yeah. That's wonderful.
Yeah, it is. Well, we've had such a fun time.
Well, I've appreciated having you come in and just opening that avenue for me, because it was something I never even thought about. And it was, I mean, my first cooking class, which I think we're going on to now, was probably one of the most nerve-wracking things I've ever done.
You were nervous.
I did it with Kevin Monroe.
Yes.
From the Mad Chef Cafe. Mm-hmm. Now, who is at the Mad Chef Cafe now.
Yes.
And that was a bit of a... We were both a bit nervous, and he's like, I'll do it if you do it. And so we're like, we're there together, and we didn't know what we were doing, and we just sort of, did 1,000 different things. And
yes, there was with 1,000 different dishes. I think you tried every dish.
I think we tried everything. Cause,
and pot.
Yes.
And pan.
There is one thing I'm good at, is using as much equipment in there as possible. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, or at least twice.
Yeah. I know, because I washed them all.
Blade. So it is fun to give a chef one of the things, Jonathan, when you, after that first class, and I'll never forget what you said, wow, this is, because you had 10 people, eyes focused on you and what you were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they ate it, how their faces would light up. And Jonathan said, that's the first time I've really seen people's reaction to my food.
Yeah.
And I think that's what hooked you, is you just saw up close and personal. Because people, just the enjoyment they got and the pleasure they got from eating your food. And because you said, I'm in the kitchen at the Atlas, and where it's a small kitchen, and I don't get to see the patrons respond to the food.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, right there, there's 10 people just like doting on Jonathan, as I do.
Kind of boosts the ego a little bit.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
just a bit. You have to watch that you don't topple over.
And I knew that, okay, I think I got a chance. You're going to do another class. Even though you were nervous.
Yes, no, definitely. She got me hooked. And I've done a dozen classes. And every time I do them, I have to admit, I am completely stressed. And I'm
cursing
Sue's name. And I'm like, why am I doing this? Like, I just worked a big long week, and now I'm going to take my day off to do a cooking class.
Uh-huh.
And then about halfway through the cooking classes, everything's just going along smoothly. I'm like, okay, now I know why I'm here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're cooking.
And then by the end of it, I sit down and have a glass of wine with Sue, and I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
I'm like, that was fun.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy it. So.
Yeah. And you know, I think a cooking class too for a chef does the same thing. It gives you feedback from your customers or potential customers. I know you've tested out a couple of dishes in our classes, and a couple of them have ended up on the menu.
That's true.
At the Atlas, because of the feedback. And we have a few chefs that use our classes for this purpose.
Yep.
Testing out menu items, getting feedback, what people liked or didn't like. And our students are really, our guests are very honest.
That's right.
About something, if a chef asks, and of course they're always full of questions. Mm-hmm. But it's just a good community way of bringing people together, and it's nice to meet your customers. And our customers, the guests at the class, absolutely adore meeting the chefs and getting to know the chefs.
Yeah, well, and then they get to see the process up close and personal, not just the final product too. So you get that instant feedback as the chef, but the patron also gets to see the. Take that home to their own kitchen to say, well, I can do this because I saw.
Or just see why chefs pair things with each other. It's a huge thing, right?
It's a very important thing. Like, you can say, well, you know, just experiment, but there are certain bases of what flavors work together and what flavors don't. And over the 8 years of the classes, that's certainly one of the things that I'm very appreciative of, is it's made me a better cook with flavors.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, and learning how they work together and what does work together. So
for someone who hasn't been to a class, how many people do you usually have in a class?
We have 10 people in the class.
10 people, right. You used to do a few more.
Used to do a few more, but we just found that just having it 10 people sitting around the counter is more of an experience like you could have at home.
Right.
And it's less of, it is more of a casual, fun get-together rather than a class. So the atmosphere with 10 people is just better, and it keeps the chef, it's just manageable from the ingredients, from the amount of dishes and the pots and pans, and it just keeps it more relaxed.
And you get a bit more of a conversation going.
Totally.
You get to know the people that are sitting around you, which I made quite a few friends, I think, over the years from people that have I seem to have the same people at my classes religiously, which is, I mean, it's exciting.
I know.
But it's crazy sometimes.
We try hard to get other people into your class, but we have people that once our cooking class schedule goes out that literally come. I don't know what time, we open at 9:30, and when we get there at 9:30 or 9:15, notes are stuck to the door.
Oh, wow.
Booking for Jonathan's class because they know how fast it sells. So it's that half an hour and the class is full.
Wow. Crazy.
But it's most of your classes sell out like that too.
Yes,
right?
We're so very fortunate that we have a very, for 8 years.
8 years you've been pretty much sold out. I know I had a conversation with Teresa once and she was amazed that she's still selling out these classes because she thought it would be a little fad that, you know, they would run for a couple, you know, a year or so and then people would start losing interest. They've seen it all, but it seems to be growing and growing. So.
It is growing and growing, and I think the influence of food and what we have here in the Valley has expanded so much, and so have our classes, and how you can cook with different foods. It is a global village, because we have so many items available to us now, so many spices, so many different foods, that the different trends are always changing. And we just have the talent here, or we're able to bring in some of our guest chefs that can keep us up with what the trends are, what the new flavors are, what some of the new dishes are, how to take perhaps an everyday product, but give it a new life with just a new cooking method, or a new spice or a new flavoring, and it's constant. And I think that's what's so cool about the food and the classes is that they're always changing and they always have something more to offer.
And truthfully,
we're really fortunate here to have such a wonderful range of chefs, caterers, who can bring this to the people.
And it's quite affordable, too, for the Valley, the cooking class, because they're not overly expensive. And I know for my classes, what you get is...
Oh, I remember you one time saying that if you were to eat out, this meal at the Atlas would cost you over $100. Like what you just, you said $110 is probably
exactly
what this would cost. And we try to keep, well, most of our classes are $60, $65, $70, depending on the ingredients. A seafood class will be a bit more because it's more expensive. But really, we do try and keep the classes
At a reasonable price.
So,
and if you think about the time, you're there for roughly 3 hours, most
three
class?
Hours minimum.
Minimum.
Yeah.
We've had them go longer, but 3 hours for sure. And with that, we always pair the beverage that would go with it. If we're doing a sushi class, we'll serve sake.
Right.
A Greek class, we always start with a shot of orzo. But there's always, we do try and pair the beverage with the food.
And I always love how Sue said, make sure they get something to eat right away. So it has to be something quick, right off the hop. So it's always getting that little appetizer out to them just to have a little something and then get the big stuff going.
Because people come right from work.
Yeah, people are hungry.
And they're hungry. And we want them to come hungry because there always is a lot of food. So
for sure.
We do find that we do try and have an appy within the first 30 to 40 minutes.
Yeah. If not sooner.
And then that just mellows everybody out.
That's right.
Then they're ready for all the adventure that follows.
So what are some of the chefs that you've had? Because you've had a few out of town and quite a few in town, I think.
Yes.
Is there any ones that stick out in your head? I know you've talked about a few with...
Yeah, well, Anna Olson was just a real treat, and Eric always is. But Karen Barnaby has been over, as I mentioned, and she's wonderfully entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have had Bonnie Stern. She was out. She was out doing classes a couple of times and doing hosting an event to promote her book. So that was really a privilege to meet her and get to work with her.
Mm-hmm.
We were very fortunate that we were able to have James Barber here.
Mm-hmm.
That was always a treat, of course. We ended up having him here a few times. He said he just liked the energy from the valley and the energy coming here, and he really did have a wonderful aura about him.
Right.
And his stories were, I mean, he traveled so much and he had been involved so much in the culinary business that it was fun to hear some of his tales.
He's a real icon for the industry.
Yeah, completely. People always enjoyed him, and he was very special.
Mm-hmm.
And then really probably one of the first chefs to introduce the slow food and the pairing with the chef and the farmer was John Bishop.
Mm-hmm.
And we hosted a whole luncheon with John Bishop based around the cookbook that he was promoting at that time, Fresh.
Oh, yeah.
So that was really something to have him.
Mm-hmm. I got a signed coffee.
Nice. Yes, we made sure Jonathan got one. But, you know, and I think he was one of the frontiersmen of bringing food and farmer together.
Definitely for the Vancouver food scene. He
absolutely.
Shaped.
And that was a real privilege once again to work with him and just get to meet him and take him around. We did a whole tour of the valley with him. We did Island Bison and down to Fanny Bay Oysters, Natural Pastures Cheese, Jerry Patterson's Farm.
Mm-hmm.
We went to the Venison.
Seaview Game Farm.
And so, and the fact that there's so much here, as Karen Barnaby said, when she would come over and we would did the tour with her, she was staying at the Old House Village Suites, and I said, "Well, we're doing a tour of Natural Pastures, and it's at 10 o'clock." I said, "I'll pick you up about 10 to 10." 10 to 10. I said, "There's just 5 minutes left to go."
Yeah.
She couldn't believe. She said, "Everything is so close here."
Yeah.
Like, she was quite. And one of the reasons she kept coming back was because of the strength of local.
Right.
And she's such a proponent of that. And always, you know, Waitrend Farms, and I mean, it's really remarkable. And she was always so impressed by that. And every time she was over, we were able to take her to a farm or to, like, Innisfree Farm for some of the wonderful herbs and the fresh herbs. So it was always, it's not hard to take your chef and say, "Here's where it's coming from.
Yeah,
here it is, fresh, and here's where it is, Tannadice Farms."
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
You know, so I mean, I think that's one of the reasons we've been able to keep some of the chefs coming back by introducing them to the Comox Valley, and then when they see it, it's like, wow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it truly is. Just, you know, it's just a paradise here.
Like, we had the fellows over that own the Memphis Blues, the barbecue house, and we hosted that barbecue over at the Philberg Lodge.
Mm.
And when we were there, and they were firing up the barbecues, and they were starting to cook. First of all, they were blown away by the location.
Mm-hmm.
But when they were starting to put the meat on the barbecues and talking about what they were doing, a doe and her two little fawns came up and just stood there and watched. And they're going, "Oh my goodness!" And then one looked at the other and goes, "Which one do you think we could fit on the barbecue?" So we're talking really fresh here.
Yeah.
So they love that, right? But so that was just kind of a fun side note. But that was quite an event.
Yeah,
right.
That's something that should happen again.
That was a carnivore's event, yeah. That one.
I'm there.
Their shirts were like the stop sign with the line through it that said vegetarians. And even the hardcore carnivore meat lovers. "No more meat, no more meat." Like, you know,
meat sweats.
They were very entertaining, and they were very, very fun. And Ron Suchuk, his barbecue class was always wonderful. So it's been great. It's been a real privilege to meet so many of these influential chefs.
Mm-hmm.
that really do kind of determine the direction and are on top of the direction. So it's really a wonderful feeling to be able to bring that opportunity here to the Comox Valley to have people meet such chefs that, you know, as when our article went out for Anna Olson, we had a lady call in to get a ticket. And she said, "Now, this is the real Anna Olson?" "Yes." "This is the Anna Olson that's on the Food Network?" "Oh, I am so excited." You know, so it's really nice to be able to do that and bring people like this, chefs like this, to the Valley.
Yeah.
For other people to enjoy.
So this is going to put you on the spot a little bit, but who would you like to get to do a class?
Michael Smith.
Michael Smith.
The tall one. Oh, Michael Smith. That is the one that everybody says, "Wow, if you guys could ever get Michael Smith here, that would be it." So this is the one. Michael Smith.
Yeah.
So that's the next on the agenda, but that might be a long way away. I don't know, but that's the one big request we've always been getting.
Well, I'll be lining up for that one because he was always a hero of mine when I started.
Dave just escaped me there for a minute.
He first came out on TV when I started my cooking profession, so it was always his. And we always joked about him in the kitchens because everything was a hockey puck at that time because he always did everything in a cylinder.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, he's completely changed his style, but just his combinations and how he put everything together, it was something that all the kitchens were talking about when I started out and did my apprenticeship. So
And he and Anna Olson are the longest two chefs on the Food Network. They are the old timers, the two of them.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's lots of new faces popping up all the time on the Food Network.
But they're kind of the tried and true, stable. There they are 10 years later. I think they've both been, she said when she was here, they've both been doing it for 10 years.
Wow.
Crazy.
Yeah, so that's a good...
A good
grounding, you know. Yeah. and they've survived that long, so their food is based on pure good value, you know.
Yeah,
and goodness. No fad.
Yeah.
Just good, honest food.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
That's what food's about, right?
Mm-hmm,
so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what do you have coming up for a schedule for cooking classes for the new year?
We will be starting them probably late February again.
Okay,
so we've got, there's a couple of new chefs in town that I've been talking to. I just was talking to Dawn Filippone, who has she used to have Feely's here, but she now has the food truck.
Right.
And very, very good food. Very good food. So I was just talking to her the other day and seeing if she might be interested. Of course, there's Jonathan. He's promised to do a class this time. I'd love to do another one with you and Trent. That was such a good class when you and Trent did a class together.
We did the black box class together.
You did the black box class. Mm-hmm. That was great.
It'd be tough to push him.
But so long as you're there. And we'll have, just trying to, there's just, you know, it's always the final, as we were discussing, Blaine, on Saturday, the logistics of organizing.
Yes.
I've talked to Kevin Monroe a couple of times trying to see if he might be available. He thought he would be for the winter series. So working with him to see what he can do, because it really is a great way to get the word out about your restaurant and just to meet some of your customers, right? It's good, really good PR.
Mm-hmm. I'll be there to help you out, John, next time you do one.
All right, that sounds good.
That would be excellent.
Yeah,
that would be
come in and wash dishes for you anyway.
That's right.
Dance.
That I would like. You're hired. This would be good.
Yeah.
And sweep the floor after.
Yeah, John and I can dance around.
There we go.
That was fun.
Yeah. I'd like to, Andrew Stegant. He's done a couple of classes for us and phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
He was the first one. He did one of his classes. He did sea urchin. None of us, absolutely none of us, had ever had that before. So that was excellent. And then it was about 2 weeks later where they did a whole article in the food section of the Vancouver Sun on sea urchin. And we went,
wow.
Yes, we've already done it.
Yeah.
Andrew had already done it for us. So he's remarkable the way he puts flavors and the food and how he uses it. He's really good. So I'd like to see if he'd be interested again.
Yeah.
But he's very busy.
Yes.
So that would be. But it's just wonderful, just the opportunity and the caterers. We always have a very successful class with Dawn McCrae of Custom Gourmet, and she does Fearless with Philo, and she does it. She takes us right from breakfast to dessert.
Oh,
so
yeah.
She does breakfast, brunch, lunch, dinner, dessert. Like, she takes us through all the meals, wow, all with Philo. That's a great class. And then the Moroccan classes with Linda Chabon and the Gourmet Girls. Very good.
Excellent.
We should do one of those Fearless with Bacon.
Fearless with Bacon.
Breakfast to dessert.
Well, there's a whole cookbook out on
yeah,
there is, true.
There, be yes, a lot of
there
fun.
Is. And how could you go wrong with tannadized bacon being exactly around the corner? I mean,
yeah. Yeah.
Again, we're talking about our own product here.
Blaine's Custom Bacon from Tannadice Pork.
There you go.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
This is good. Yeah, this is good.
Yeah.
We see we're developing our class series already. As we go along.
The next
here
class is already being
yeah,
developed
okay
as we go.
The schedule is forming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I better start writing recipes now.
You yeah better get going, John. Your phone call's about to come.
We'll do, what's that film I watched called Pig in a Day, and we'll take a whole side of pork and start breaking it down, showing everybody how to do that and cook it too.
That would be fabulous. Yeah. I have talked to Greg at the Butcher's Block about doing something like that.
Mm.
But he's a bit shy.
Yeah. I'm not a professional butcher. I can cut things up, but I don't know precision terms and things like that.
Sausage making is a class that we've always been asked for.
Oh, yeah.
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 So,
yeah, there you might go be something.
Mm-hmm. Because there's, I mean, talk about a variety that you could do with sausage do
anything
with sausages, right?
Yeah.
And then you know what's in it. You've made your own. And
yes,
we're finding that some of these older methods like canning, how the resurgence, how this is coming back.
Oh, yeah.
Making your own gifts from the kitchen, packaging to put your gifts in. Like some of these, it's just all a little bit of a new twist, but.
Yeah, the old arts are coming back for sure.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. But I'm asked to bring in the machinery for stuffing sausage and pasta makers.
Yeah.
And making your own pasta, like it's really cool to see how being in the kitchen and putting what you know into your food with your own hands is really, really gaining momentum.
Yeah, I'm fascinated with sausage making. It's just cool. Yeah. It's so cool, and it's really is easy once you have the equipment to do it, and figure out after some trial and error, which I did, which now I can tell people the right way to do it, but I mean, yeah, it's not really that difficult, and it's really cool when you got this big chunk of case with meat in it, and you twist it all up, and it's just, and the color, like the venison sausage I made was this bright purple color. It was just beautiful.
Yeah. It's wonderful.
It was so cool. So
excellent.
Well, I think, Sue, that pretty much wraps up the show, but one last question we always like to ask is, what are your favorite things about the Comox Valley and what keeps you here?
Oh, I think the vibrancy of the area and the fact that it's always changing, that there's always something new going on, and the fact that the people.
Yeah.
The people, the diversity that's here. We were sailors, and sailing here in the valley is great.
Yeah.
We love to eat. The eating here in the valley is great.
Yeah.
The people are wonderful. So I think it's just the energy that's here. And whatever your interest is, you can certainly pursue it here.
Yeah.
If you're skiing, you're up the mountain. And,
yeah.
And it, you know, like sailing for us, we could do it year round. I did not. My husband did. He sailed year round. I was a bit more of a fair weather sailor, but it's possible. So it's just the energy that's here and how you can take an interest and help other people with it and bring other people into that interest. So I just like the energy that's here.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, sir.
Yes, this has been a great conversation. It's been a lot of fun. So, upcoming events, they're kind of all the stuff we had will be pretty much done by the time this comes out. So,
it's pretty much true. Yeah, we have most of the events have happening. Other than we have the local food hero promotion,
right? Yep.
With on the Facebook, so you can check that out and give a little comment to who your favorite person is, and the prize is Dark Side Chocolate as a gift certificate
and Courtney VQA Wine Store
and VQA Wine Store. Yeah, so they're having a good little store. Thing. And then we have our December contest going with a $25 gift certificate to the Atlas Cafe.
Yes.
For those people who like Edible Valley, and check out our Facebook page where we're trying to give a little heads up of what's happening and some photos of the test kitchen and some of the foods that's available here.
Yep.
So
yeah, like our Facebook page in the month of December and get entered into that draw. So far, we have about 5 entrants, so it's a good chance
of
winning.
So enter. Chances are good, yes.
Pass it on to your friends because you may get invited out for lunch or dinner if that friend wins.
Exactly.
So pass it on. And I guess lots of Christmas parties happening. I got, I think, 3 this weekend I'm going to. So it'll be lots of good eats. And I'm going to experiment with making a chicken liver and pork pate for the Saturday night function, and I'm bringing smoked salmon to the Friday night function, and some pepperoni to Sunday. So, yeah, it'll be fun to share around and different stuff
food
like that.
Food is fun.
That's
food
right.
is definitely fun. And so, yeah, everybody just be safe too out there. Make sure you're using designated drivers and taxis and different things like that, because
it's that season.
It's that season, and it can happen way too fast, so we want everybody to be listening to us for a long time. Well, thanks for listening to the Edible Valley Podcast. We gratefully accept donations to help with the operating costs of the podcast or local ingredients to create new dishes in the Edible Valley Test Kitchen. Check our website, ediblevalley.com. Like us on Facebook. You might win some gift certificates. And follow our Twitter feed at Edible Valley. Email us with your comments or guests you would like to hear on the show. Don't hesitate to send along your cooking questions for John to answer on the show or to pick our brains on other local food information. ediblevalley@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, keep it local.